Donald.
Donald, my cousin.
Oh, he's your cousin. Okay.
I'm ready.
Hey, Mayor.
All right, I'd like to call the Town of Montville Town Council regular meeting agenda to order for February 9, 2026. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our military.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here.
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 All right. Tonight we have two presentations. We have a presentation by Van Whitney Container Board, General Manager Mario Infante, regarding the $40 million facilities upgrade. Mayor, before we get started, do you want to say anything or just have them jump in?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Mario Infante from Rand Whitney, who's going to make this presentation. They've got a lot of work ahead of themselves for a $40 million upgrade to their operation. And I want to thank you for taking the time to come up here and make us aware of what's going on. Appreciate it.
Great. Let's see. Can you guys hear me all right? Boy. Can I hold this thing? Okay. How's that? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, great.
That's better.
So good evening, everybody. Mr. Mayor, councilors, I appreciate the opportunity for giving me or inviting us down to give you just a quick update in the town of who I think everybody's probably familiar with who we are. If you're not, I won't bore everybody with PowerPoint, but we've got a really exciting year ahead of us here in 2026, and I think it's relevant for us to be excited about it together, and really want to share it with the community as well as, you know, what we've got going on down there. So I put together just a couple of things. My name's Mario. As the mayor introduced, I've been with Rand Whitney Container Board now for roughly, I guess it'll be 5 years here in May. So I joined the team in 21. Real quick, I'll just run through just a couple of things here. Open up to the floor to any questions or anybody that may have any questions about us. We've been trying to do a little bit more social media type things. What the new office and facility looks like. If anybody's been in the mill, you guys can hear it.
We are Rand Whitney Container Board. We produce 32 tons of linerboard every hour.
Over 770 tons of recycled linerboard every day.
Annual production of linerboard is over 16 billion square feet.
That's enough to cover the area of Chicago two times.
In 30 years, we've accomplished so much. We believe in sustainability, in health, and safety.
Teaching each other.
Progressing beyond packaging.
We believe in our team.
We are logistics professionals.
Problem solving accountants.
Human resource professionals.
We are leaders and
team workers.
Power generators.
Engineers.
Process technicians.
We believe in career long
living. In our planet.
Recycling.
In our people.
We are.
Rand Whitney.
So that's just a quick video, promo video. You can find it. We're actually putting a website together and a couple things as well. But for those that aren't truly familiar with what we do at the mill, down off of 163, believe it or not, we are one of the oldest paper mill, continuous operating paper mills, operating really in arguably in North America. It could be contested who's the oldest and who's not, but as you guys know, it's built in 1868. He's been operating down there for quite some time. Used to make clay-coated newsback, craftback, so the back of like a writing paper and that kind of stuff. The Kraft family, as you probably are all aware, we are under the umbrella of the Kraft Group, so we are owned by the Kraft family, headquartered up out of Foxborough, bought it in the 80s, making folding carton, and then ultimately in 93, built the linerboard machine that's over there now. It's been operating for just over 30 years. We just celebrated our 30th year, completed in 95. So it's a general overview of kind of what we do. We are 100% recycled linerboard facility. So we don't use any virgin fiber in the facility. Everything comes in crushed cardboard bales. We take that in to the tune of close to 1,000 tons a day now. We produce, originally designed to do 185,000 tons. Now we're doing over 270,000 tons a year. You know, again, if you were to take that, you heard in the video, square footage at 16 billion or 500 square miles, enough to cover Chicago twice. We produce primarily four different grades of paper down the street there, 26, 31, 33, 35, 42. So if you were to take a cardboard box and you look at it, you got the outside ply and you got the inside ply and you got that fluted sheet in the center. What we're producing down there is those two outside sheets of paper. Ultimately, what we do with that is we take that and we send it to our sister company in Worcester and in Boylston, Mass, at Rand Whitney Container for the most part, and then they turn it into a packaging solution. And then ironically, all that paper is now coming back into Connecticut, a lot to the DCs in Amazon. And then those boxes are then coming right back to us again, and it stays very circular. So again, you see what's traded. Primarily, we do all of our business in the Northeast, U.S. and Canada. And then we run 24/7. A lot of folks in here have helped us out in odd hours of the night as well. So we run four crews, 12-hour shifts, along with the maintenance team. We're a team of 85 full-time employees, and then we also have roughly about 26 maintenance personnel that are in there as well. Sustainability, you heard about it. It's not just a tagline. We're not just about sustainability. But, you know, really, as mentioned, we run old corrugated containers. That's the OCC, 100% recycled post-consumer. And as you can imagine, that stuff potentially would go to a landfill. It doesn't have to. We clean all that stuff. And then roughly only about 5% of what's coming in is then kind of our solid waste that goes out in different waste streams. And a lot of that stuff actually goes up the road to energy to up to a burned energy facility up in with wind waste. With water, so you guys, as the town is very involved here, and we appreciate, we are one of the first mills in the world to run 100% recycled wastewater, and that's coming from the town's treatment plant, otherwise known as potentially as purple water, as many here may be aware. So we reuse over 240 million gallons of effluent, which potentially would be discharged to a waste or to the Long Island Sound to a fresh water source. That stuff stays back in with us. We run a pretty closed water loop, and we rely heavily on that partnership with the WPCA as well. For those that don't know, we also operate a turbine. So if you know, as you're looking down and you're looking at the building to the right side there, we're running now, which is a up to 16 megawatt power turbine to produce electricity. So not only we run it for electricity, which is great, we burn natural gas. However, we're using the exhaust heat off of the engine to actually generate the steam that we need to dry the paper with some supplemental duct firing burners that we have in there as well. And as well, we participate in Eversource. A couple things we do there, you know, if the grid is in need for power, we'll actually stop operations and we'll just export power to the grid, you know, as necessary as well in a demand response program. So it's a pretty good piece there. I'll just highlight a couple of things for anybody interested. I mean, these are some of the things that we've donated to or sponsored in the past. We're actually hosting a Boy Scout troop, I think, Monday. Really, any opportunities that we can to participate in the community, I'd love to have you guys come down. Again, these are just a couple of things that we've donated to over the course of the last few years, particularly in my short tenure here in the last five. So this isn't really about what we do. It's more about what's coming. And as I mentioned, the 2026 is going to be a really exciting year for us. So we recently just announced to our employees that we're going to be upgrading a pretty key component of the machine itself. So as mentioned, we just celebrated 30 years. And what's exciting is that ownership has decided that they're going to invest in new equipment so we can be here for another 30 or 50 years, which I think is a commitment from ownership. But I think it's also a testament to the labor, the workforce, the partnership we have here in the community to be able to have that confidence to continue to invest in the facility. What that's going to look like, just again, high level, I'm not going to get into crazy technical details. If anybody's really interested, I'd love to host you. I'd love to have conversation with you outside of here. But it's really the paper making, if you've seen the machine or haven't, it's basically three areas of, you know, forming the sheet, you know, pressing the sheet, and then drying the sheet. So starting in the beginning, in the wet end of the machine, we're going to install what's kind of it's a shake technology to give us a little bit more strength in our sheet. But ultimately, the biggest part of the project here is we're going to be replacing the press frame, which is really, in essence, the heart of the machine. So, you know, back in 94, 93, when it was built, it was, you know, just a traditional steel. It's a very wet environment. So over the course of, you know, 30 years of keeping it, you know, as in the integrity of the structure as whole as possible, it's time that we need to make the investment. So a lot of times, what I've seen and you've seen historically in the industry is you're not going to make the investment in you know, potentially you would move, you'd build another machine, or do you take, you know, do you go in and you invest in the machine and replace it? So this is just kind of a high level of what it is. So really just kind of from an executive summary standpoint of what we're doing, as mentioned, it's deteriorated. This is what I proposed to ownership, and they definitely got on board. We've done testing over the course of the last couple of years. So we are going to take roughly what's 21-day outage. The month of October this year, the mill will be down for us to execute this project. So we're in the process now of doing that. We're replacing the press frame, some of the sheet handling. So again, you know, downtime is critical to our process, so we want to make sure that we maximize that. So we're doing a couple of different upgrades, as mentioned, with the shake technology and the sheet handling, so we can make a stronger sheet with potentially less paper. So we can compete with what's out there on the market as well from a recycled standpoint. So again, and then we've also got a modernizing the control room. So that's coming. And again, all in roughly just kind of high level project cost and downtime is a significant commitment from ownership. Roughly was what we're saying is about $40 million that we're going to be putting into the business. Anticipate the month of October during the execution of the outage, we'll have, you know, probably close to another 200 to 300 people in town working on this stuff. So there's going to be quite a bit of traffic coming. And again, lastly, I'll just say, you know, and I can talk all night long about this. It's pretty exciting stuff for me. But I'll say to the employees, you know, if we didn't have the workforce we have, if we didn't have the safety record that we continue to have year over year, and the production, you know, as well as then ultimately the partnership with the community and what we're doing here and the commitment that we have, you know, ownership wouldn't be in a position to make this investment in us here. So I think it's exciting. I hope it's exciting for everyone. That's all I got.
Well, thank you. I just want to add that this is certainly a commitment to the town of Montville and to remaining active and a solid operation in Montville. It employs 85 employees for this operation. It's very important that the Rand Whitney make these upgrades in order to improve the quality of the paper that they're trying to produce. So we welcome you, and we're here to help you in anything we can do. Thank you.
Great.
I have a quick question on the tonight's agenda. We have a resolution. Can you just brief us a little bit about that?
I think that would go through Dennis.
Dennis? Okay.
about
your resolution, right?
Land use.
That one's not ours.
That's separate.
That's separate. It's the parking lot.
Oh, the drainage. Okay. All right. Okay. I mean, it's on the agenda tonight. I probably should have looked at it. Sorry.
Okay, we'll explain it later. But
yeah, I can probably answer it. I'll give it a shot.
We've
got that. You know, we're looking at that as the business is starting to grow. We're going to have to grow the infrastructure with it as well, and that's part of what we're looking to do with the parking lot. I mean, we are, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's a pretty small campus, as I like to say. We don't have a lot of warehousing. The business is about as just in time as possible. So if you come and you see the facility, we only have about 2.5 days of inventory on both sides of the mill. We're doing that via 3 dock doors essentially on each side. So what the benefit here that we're going to have is we'll keep traffic contained as well. So we're trying to, work with the community as well on Bridge Street and, kind of keep our trucks as much as we can at bay. So that's part of having kind of a, rather than, having a potential warehouse, because we really can't do that, it just gives us a little bit more flexibility, especially to support the project that's going to be coming. Because at the end of the day, we're looking to potentially produce roughly about 22,000 more incremental tons to the business, which essentially is going to, we're going to be making more rolls because we're going to be making more square footage because we're going to be able to go down in the basis in the weight of our product, which is ultimately going to create more trucks that need to be loaded.
It's also going to allow for the movement of those trucks on your property,
exactly.
more movement within the property rather than routing 163 and Bridge Street and Maple Avenue.
Yeah, I mean, that's our goal. Honestly, that's our goal. Yeah. I mean, we want to try to keep it as contained as possible and really be as good neighbors as we can.
I agree.
Well, I think it's great news.
Yeah, I really do.
To reinvest back into our town, into your plant, I think it's an awesome thing to do. You know, because not too many businesses like yours are just putting that much money back into it.
Right.
And I've seen some renovations you have already done to that, which needed it, but it looks great on the outside there. You know. You know what? It's a good partnership to have you staying in our town too.
We appreciate it, and we look forward to it. Really, so. Commitment to the portfolio, honestly, and a lot of exciting things are happening. So, and we couldn't do it. Really, we couldn't do it. Genuinely, we couldn't do it without the town support. So, thank you everybody for that.
Maybe the Patriots could have used your support yesterday.
Oh, that was
horrible. I had my jersey on all day.
I know it's tough.
Yeah, right. You ain't got it on now.
So no, I took it all. I had to come to the meeting, but I'm still a Patriots fan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's definitely good story. So, can I field any other questions at this time?
Are you going to have times when they're going to be bringing in big pieces of equipment? Not equipment, but stuff that. So it could be. Sometimes where traffic could be, especially on that road when you're bringing in stuff, no?
Yep. No, that's a great point. As it stands right now, most of our delivery pieces will be probably coming in, I'd say, middle to late September. Part of the parking lot and everything is going to be so we have a lay down area
stuff?
And we have somewhere that we can store it and lay down. Yeah, there's the press section itself will be in large sections of steel. That's fully being, basically fabricated in Wisconsin first. So then, it's all domestically produced. And then from there, we'll go inspect it. And then that'll be disassembled and brought down in pieces. And then we'll have a lay down area. And then we'll have to put it all back up. So, that's part of the intent there. And then we'll have the back side of the mill where the old boiler used to sit, that has been since demoed out. We're going to use that side of the mill to go into flying those pieces of steel into the building.
Plus, you're going to have a upgrade to your control room, too, another 3,000 square feet, right?
Yes. Yep. So, you know, that space that we're going to be using to fly in those pieces is going to be where we're making room now to put a new state-of-the-art control room in, where, you know, our two primary operators sit 24/7 that are operating the equipment. And that's where, you know, we'll have building permit and a couple other things that you'll see from the Maple Avenue side. That'll be aesthetically built. And that'll be, again, that'll be kind of a state-of-the-art, you know, new building off the existing structure today.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be here.
You bet. And don't hesitate to reach out. I can leave my card or my contact information.
Believe me, we will.
Let us know when the grand opening is or when
okay.
It's.
Believe me, we will.
All right.
Thank you. For the next presentation, I got the Land Use Director, Dennis Goodyear, is going to be making an introduction to the tax increment financing overview, along with an explanation of the CMDA, which is a statewide quasi-public organization that works with towns and offers to increase housing prosperity in neighborhoods.
Thank you. Good evening, council members. In your agenda packet, there was an item that gave an overview, a bulleted overview over several pages about tax increment financing and an introduction from the Connecticut Municipal Development Authority's webpage. I'll give you an abbreviated presentation of the highlights within that packet and happy to answer any questions. The reason I'm bringing tax increment financing to your attention this evening is primarily a result of where we are right now in the Route 32-163 study that's underway. This will be a recommendation as a tool for economic development to support the recommendations coming in the vision that's going to be coming out of that study. There's a steering committee meeting on Thursday of this week. There's going to be a public presentation on March 26th. Presenting the draft recommendations and then the final presentation to council later in April, early May. So I thought it would be appropriate to introduce this because there's a lot of information, a lot to learn. There's steps that if it's something to implement, it takes a period of time to go through a process as is required by the state statutes. But I'm not going to say I'm an expert on this. I'll answer any questions that I possibly can this evening. It is a specialty in and of itself on different aspects. I was involved in the TIF district that was developed and adopted in the city of Groton. The town of Groton also has TIF districts. But what is tax increment financing? First, I just want to say what it is not. It is not a new tax or a tax at all. That's often the initial thought. But it is a tool for economic development. You're making a commitment by adopting a TIF district to the public, to the development community and investors that you're willing to invest resources, both staff as well as fiscal resources within bettering a specific area of a community for the greater good of the entire town as well, essentially. It's not just going to be a benefit to that one area. It does ultimately have a benefit everywhere else. It is specific to a district, a location. It's not one parcel. And it's generally used for creating new town centers or enhancing existing town centers, growing a retail hub, or building new or expanding established industrial zones. These are examples of them. And as I just touched upon, benefits include enhancing the quality of life, helping to provide enhanced services that may not necessarily come to town on their own without a district such as this. Also attracting the development community as a whole, and I can explain how that can occur in a moment. But a little history on TIF, because it has been around for a while. The current legislation was adopted in 2015. It was based upon an older, more burdensome TIF policy that was on the books required state-level approval. It was very cumbersome. Bottom line, it was never really used in the state at all, if at all. With the new, or was new, you know, 11 years ago in 2015 when it was adopted, it became more streamlined. It is 100% controlled at the local level. And it's not site-specific, but it gives you a lot of flexibility on how the funds are used, how much of the funds would need to be used. You have discretion there, and it has become much more common throughout the state of Connecticut. And here's a list of some of the towns that have adopted, and cities that have adopted TIF or in the process, such as East Haddam is looking at establishing a policy right now before it actually establishes a TIF district. As I said, I worked for the city of Groton, and this was a tool that we've used, and others have been moving along with it as well. So how it works, this is a legislative decision. It is done by the town council, no other commissions other than a referral to the Planning and Zoning Commission for consistency with the POCD. But there's essentially roughly four steps here. Right now we are at that exploration and initiation stage. I'm bringing this forth to you if it's something that the council is interested in, and in light of what you'll hear in the coming months on the Route 32 and 163 plan. Best practice is establishing an advisory committee. That's optional, it's not necessary, but other communities have been doing it. Creating a policy which establishes the procedures that guides the council and the town for its adoption, as well as management. And once the policy is created, then it's creating the district master plan, which when you hear master plan, it's often, my mind at least, goes to pictures of what it's going to look like, et cetera. It's not, it's all text. It's lines on a map of where the boundary is, and it's how the district and the plan or the funding can be used. And then part of that also goes into management, both at the staff and council level. Sort of the basics of it on a dollars and cents standpoint, when a district is established, at that moment that it's established, there's a process that you go through with the assessor certifying the grand list at that time. Then you create, or at adoption, you establish what's called the original assessed value. That is, for, I'll say, your baseline for your taxes. Once you establish it as the values, land values, and this is real values, this isn't property, so we're talking about real estate, when that increases, anything above that amount can be used towards the district. It doesn't have to be 100% of it. It could be 50%, it could be 75%, or it could be 100%. Whatever that percentage is that you don't use can go back into the general fund. The one thing, though, is that when you establish that percentage, you have to designate and put that into the TIF district fund for the benefit of the district. And that I'll talk about in a moment what that benefit is. That's what this next slide is. So what can the money be used for? It's a whole host of items from utility expansions, both inside a district or to bring utilities to a district. Again, it has to be for the benefit. If there needed to be an expansion at the WPCA facility to support a new development, it could be used for those for that benefit as well. New roadways or renovation of roadways and bridges, parks and rec, it can be used for training and marketing, loans for small businesses for them to expand, or facade improvements as well. So there's a host of flexibility involved. One of the real fiscal benefits of a TIF district, you know, you can do some of your traditional bonds, revenue bonds, or just general bonds as well, is what's called credit enhancement agreements. These are unique to TIF districts. You cannot create a CEA outside of a TIF district. This is allowing developers a guaranteed financing mechanism to help them get financing that they traditionally may not be able to, and often it's used for catalytic projects that might be a brownfield that sometimes might have to seek out funds for either through tax credits or historic tax credits, things that could be and take a long period of time. This may be a tool that can be utilized in lieu of that. Again, it's for projects that may not otherwise be used or occur. And this is not a tax abatement. We're a tax abatement. You agree to terms of not paying taxes, and that happens, and it just continues along. That's not what this is. This is the developer has to have the tax dollars. They pay the town. The town will then reimburse the developer a certain percentage that would be negotiated upon when you create that agreement. In that term is usually some increment that's negotiated, but it's no longer than the however length of time the district is established for. It's performance based, so if the developer is not living up to their agreement, if there's becomes liens on the property, or if they don't have the money to pay their taxes, or if it's become plated, they're not maintaining the property, there's zoning violations or building violations, they are in default of their contract, and you are not obligated to pay them back. It may not be that cut and dry, but that's the incentive where in a tax abatement or other measures, you would not have that level of flexibility for enforcement. So that is one of the aspects of a CEA, of a TIF district that can help. Oxel Loss was great. That they got a lot of finances. It took a while to get through. That would be an example of a project that might benefit development of some of the properties, such as the vacant Duncan site or other parcels that might be borderline for whatever reason, could be other aspects. But again, this is stating to the development community that we're committed to a location and bringing investment into the area. So where in Montville? This graphic depicts what we call Node 1 in the Route 32 study. It is one of the priority locations that has come out of the public outreach process for looking to redevelop and enhance. It's a very general blob, if you will, right now. It's really meant to be for a discussion tool. It can be basically anywhere in town. You can have more than one. You could have one district. You could have 10 districts. You just cannot. The total assessed value of the TIF districts cannot exceed 10% of your grand list. So that's the only catch there. For case in point, the town of Groton has, I think, 3 or 4 districts along the Long Hill Road corridor. So that was my overview on TIF districts. Related indirectly is an introduction to the Connecticut Municipal Development Authority. They've been around for several years now. It's led by David Corris as their executive director. Before the holidays, the mayor and I and some others had a call with them. We were introduced by our Route 32 study team. They are a quasi-public organization. They help communities that have community centers, such as Montville, and they offer technical services to member towns that have opted in to join. It's free of charge. You go through an adoption process. They could help us establish a TIF district if it's something that we're interested in. They could help us with zoning or other land use matters or other advice on economic development, and they would complement places or organizations like sector and staff here that we have access to as well. The other aspect is they open up avenues for funding. When you establish a district in your town that is through the Connecticut Municipal Development Authority, under the state statute, you have access to additional funds for other infrastructure improvements. And that could also complement TIF district, or could complement other measures that we're going to be exploring under the new House bill, there's transit-oriented development districts that we would qualify for establishing for zoning, if that's something that seems to make sense. those all these avenues over time, and once the funds get appropriated at the state level and become available, would become access. If this is something that's of interest in learning more, David Corris is more than happy to come to one of your meetings and do a presentation, introduce himself as well. So that is, I guess, it that I had for this evening. I'm happy to, answer any questions that you have, and if this is something that you're interested in learning more about, I could reach out to David Corris at CMDA and invite him in here and set up a time that's appropriate through the mayor, and we can continue to discuss the appropriateness of this. Again, you'll hear more about this, and I think it'll make more sense when you start to see some of the recommendations that come out of the Route 32 study. But it'll take, several months to a year or more to get through this process. If it's something to that you want to move forward with, you need to draft the policy, draft the district, go through public hearing process, legal notices as well. So it is something that isn't going to happen, within a 1 or 2 month period of time. So
keep in mind that this this is an introduction to something that will eventually be brought back to the council for your consideration and ask for your approval. But keep in mind that throughout Montville's history, there's always been stumbling blocks and hurdles to prevent us from doing certain things. For example, at what point is WPCA going to reach its capacity where it can't do anymore? Where is that money going to come from to provide the increase in capacity for the WPCA? Or adding a road or adding a town green, where is that money going to come from? This is a way to allow a portion of future tax growth to be set aside and applied towards projects like that. I think it's a great idea because it's not a tax increase. It's using the future tax growth to be applied towards these projects. And I want to compliment Dennis for bringing this out, for trying to open up our eyes to what some possibilities are to change Montville to move us forward. So at some time in the future, we'll be bringing the CMDA in here to further talk about it and discuss it and describe it and educate us on what we can do.
You mentioned that this most likely be a referral from Planning and Zoning, so you guys will, at some point, Planning and Zoning Commission will be looking at this in more depth, and then it'll come up as a referral, or is this more?
It's council. This is all council initiated. Okay. The council refers it to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay.
And then the Planning and Zoning Commission evaluates it for consistency with the plan of development. I believe something like this would be supported by our plan of development, the Route 32-163 study. Under our grant requirements and what the grant application had stated was for the Planning and Zoning Commission to consider the recommendations for adoption either in whole or in part as part of our POCD. Once the process of that study ends, that ends, but the work begins. I mean, that's the precursor to everything. And the commission will be evaluating that to bring it forward to to update the POCD. And that goes into the larger discussion that we've had about funding the much broader update of the POCD townwide, not just site-specific. I mean, this isn't site-specific, but this is more location, geographic-specific. So then the POCD does get referred to the council for endorsement as well, and then it goes back to sort of the opposite of the TIF, So.
Yeah, I probably need to learn more about it. It sounds like at some point we set up goals of how we want to structure our tax, our tax revenue coming in, and we would then take a portion of that to fund these programs. So we would just pick out goals or what we would like to accomplish, and then we're allowed to take tax money as if we have increase in revenue. We could take, say, that money and set it aside for these endeavors. Is that what?
Yeah, and one of the things I'd like to do, and I wanted to get your feedback tonight to see if you're interested in it, but reaching out to some of the communities in the state, see how they have it structured, what their challenges and they're facing with it, if any, and the successes they've had as well, how they have it structured, get a copy of their policies and understand what they're doing and how they're operating it as well. Like I said, this is a highly specialized field. There's a few consultants out there that do this type of work through CMDA. They would be able to guide this as well. So, yeah.
All right. Any questions for Dennis? No. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis.
Okay. Alterations to the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I have two.
Okay.
what I would believe would be item 16C, the resolution to authorize the mayor to execute the storm sewer easement and right to drain from Rand Whitney Realty LLC to the town of Montville. Shall I read the whole?
Yeah, just briefly read it.
Okay. That the town council resolved to authorize Mayor Leonard G. Bunnell Sr. to execute the storm sewer easement and right to drain from Rand Whitney Realty LLC to the town of Montville as required per Planning and Zoning Commission site plan application #25SITE5 approved on July 22nd, 2025 in accordance with the plan entitled Site Improvement Plan Proposed Trailer Storage Facility 375 Maple Avenue Route 163 Town of Montville, Connecticut prepared for Rand Whitney Realty LLC 370 Route 163 PO Box 336 Montville, Connecticut 06353 prepared by CLA Engineers Incorporated dated June 2nd, 2025, revised July 21, 2025.
All right. Any other alterations to the agenda?
Just want to add that this resolution is part of your packet, just so everybody knows it's there.
And one more that would be item 16D. The town of Montville hereby resolves to retain the law firm of Sussman & Shapiro as legal counsel for the town of Montville with a term of January 1, 2026 to December 31, 2026, and further to authorize the mayor to execute the fee agreement outlined in the proposal submitted by the law firm dated February 4, 2026.
All right. Any other alterations to the agenda? All right. Can I have a motion to accept those?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
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 Favor. Councilor Southern, whenever somebody could loan me their resolution when I get time, when I read it in. I don't have a copy of the last one. When you get to 16B, I'll need to borrow that.
Oh, absolutely.
This?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
I might have one.
All right. All right, consider action a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of January 12, 2026, the public hearing meeting minutes of January 12, 2026, that's the 5:30 meeting. The public hearing meeting minutes of January 12, 2026, the 5:45 meeting, the public hearing meeting minutes of January 12, 2026, 6 p.m., Bridge Street, and the public hearing meeting minutes of January 12, 2026, the 6:30 meeting from the ATV ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Harris?
Favor.
Councilor
Favor.
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 Favor. Okay, at this time, consider and act on a motion to enter an executive session for the purpose of interviewing candidates for the Farmers Market Committee, Economic Development Commission, the Commission on Aging, discussions to include members of the Town Council and Mayor Leonard Bunnell, Sr.
So moved.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, look, the time is 7:44 in the executive session. All right.
Say a 10 degree difference. Easily.
The meeting to order. It is, my goodness, 8:34. No votes were taken. Let's see, where are we? All right.
Remarks from the public.
All right, this time I'd like to entertain remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. And I'll go one more time. Remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Communications, copy of the legal bills from Sussman Shapiro for the months of November 2025. That was in your packet. Mayor, I got something in my inbox that I'm going to give to you. It's the it's from TEC Associates Consulting Engineers. In Portland, Maine, they do the New England Central Railroad Vegetation Control Program. I'm going to give that to you and make sure it gets to the right person.
Yeah, that's an annual effort by the railroad and Eversource to cut back vegetation.
All right. So, and anyone else get receive any correspondence? All right. Report from town attorney on matters referred. Not a report, but tonight we have a. We're going to be extending the contract for the town attorney.
So, on if I can just comment that there's two matters that have been received from the attorney's office, and one is the ATV ordinance that's I sent for them for review, the revision of it, and it is now going to the Public Safety Commission. And the Permanent Building Committee ordinance, I revised that through discussions with the TARP, and that is going to go back to TARP after it's already been reviewed by the town attorney.
Okay. Remarks from the mayor and or administrative department heads to include matters referred.
If I could start off with a report from Public Works, John Carlson.
Good evening, everyone. John Carlson, Montville Public Works Director. I am here to speak about, it's been quite a winter for everyone, I'm sure. I'm sure everyone's enjoying shoveling every weekend. I think we've worked every weekend since Christmas, except for one. Currently, our snow time overtime is over by $56,164.32. That does not include this past Friday and Saturday, so that hasn't been included. We are also at a negative balance in snow, salt, one of the major components that helps our roads stay nice and black. So that's around 51,000 right now. Right now, we're in really good shape. A lot of towns are in trouble They're really limited on supplies. A lot have switched back to the sand and salt. We have sand and salt currently in stock. We did use it during the major storm and the blizzard, where they didn't call it a blizzard, but when we got the 16 inches, we did switch to sand and salt for a little while to just keep traction and just keep material down. And then we went back to the salt once the storm is over. One of the big problems with the salt, though, is you have to realize is that we've had extreme cold for the last 34 days. So with the extreme cold temperatures, you have to use more material in order to make it work. So that's one reason why the salt budget is kind of over, especially this extreme cold we recently had. You know, when that temperature is dropping below zero and the wind chill, it takes quite a bit of salt to really keep those roads clean. I was pretty happy Sunday morning when I drove around the roads and looked at them to see that 90% of them were, actually probably 90% of them were really clean, especially our main roads. Side streets weren't as great, but our focus was to keep the main roads open. Few drifts, but not too much for this past weekend. One of the downfalls is with all the, especially plowing, becomes truck maintenance. Our truck maintenance has been killing our budget in the truck department. Truck maintenance repairs, we're over budget on that one too. As of this time, I'm looking into snowplow blades for replacement to start doing some repairs. Some of the upgraded technologies with snowplow blades is that our trucks can run an 11-blade system, which means each blade is 1 foot section at 11 feet and allows them to independently move as they go through the road. So if the center of the road drops a little bit, these blades drop and they scrape more. Every person that has one of those blades feel it is one of the best things that we've ever done to purchase. Of course, it costs a little bit more to do. And from what I understand, due to supply and demand with China and everything, most of our materials like this come from China. We are going to see a significant increase in just snowplow blades for next year. Wednesday is the opening bids for the bathrooms. So I got my fingers crossed that those will come into a good number. But we've been busy doing a lot of snow removal. After that big storm, a lot of the turnarounds and stuff, you'll see the big piles across from the large pavilion that we've made. Surprised no one's tried to make an igloo in there. So, but it's been crazy. Unexpected, but it is what it is. And the next storm coming is possible rain. That's kind of scary because snow and rain don't mix too well. Especially a large amount of rain, especially with the frozen lakes and the rivers, that creates ice dams. So that's got me a little more nervous. So I'm crossing my fingers it misses us, but it doesn't look like it. So any questions or comments?
Yeah, we did discuss the salt at our finance meeting, and I want to make sure that that number that was given to us, that'll get us, hopefully get us through the end of the season. So if you need to revise that, I think we just want to make sure that, you know.
As of right now, I don't think I'll make it to the end of the season. If I did, it would be an empty shed. So come the next year, I would have to put more material in the shed, which is probably not good to do the budget.
I get that number that was given to the finance, is that to just get us to the end of the year, or is that to get us till next year?
No, that is till right now. I have no idea how much more salt and material we're going to end up using, to be honest with you. So next year, right now, if it stops snowing, I could probably take and put about 200 to 300 ton in there and be ready for next year's budget, you know, and have the shed back to where we start. If I leave it, that's the problem. Now I'm short that 200 to 300 ton for next year, and I'm automatically taking out of next year's budget, not knowing what next year is going to bring.
Well, I was just saying that if that number, we just wanted to know if that's going to, if you need to work on that number more, let us know.
I can work. It's going to be worked on a little bit more because, you know, some of the deliveries that I've gotten since then have increased the number.
Thank you.
You know, but till the bills are fully paid, I won't know the exact number. So, you know, and it's just trying to keep up with the materials is difficult. You know, people like the sand and salt, but sand does nothing to make the roads to turn them black. The only way you have to break that snow bond, and the only way to break it is with the salt. Sand gives a false sense of traction. Yeah, sure, it does for that momentary moment, but all you do is you get a half inch of snow on top of it, and you've lost all your traction.
Well,
so
I'm just letting you know. You know, we understand. So yeah. Give us a number, and we can go in on that.
Yeah, I'll try to keep you up to date on the number next month. I'll give you a more accurate date update. I expect a snow overtime to, you know, increase another 20,000. Mm. You know, we had 22 hours of overtime. So it adds up pretty quick, pretty fast. So I wish it didn't happen on weekends, but I that's just a luck of the draw this year. I don't know why. You know, so.
Your next one's not supposed to be Monday. Isn't it a Monday?
Oh, Monday's a holiday.
Yeah. Oh, can we change that?
Monday's a holiday. It's supposed to start Sunday into Monday, so Monday is a holiday. So
you know, yeah, but you know what, John? All the Public Works has been doing a great job. You know, I'm out there. I see it. I'm out during the storms, and I have to tell you, they have been doing a great job.
Yeah,
you know, the side roads, everything like that. Yeah, you can understand that they did in the main roads. I understand the salt. We've been getting away with a lot over the years. We've talked about that when I was on it with you, about the seasons that we didn't have hardly anything. So you know what? Sometimes you got to bite the bullet on some of these.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Good job.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. The finance director is unable to make a report tonight. She's ill. I'd like to have land use director Dennis Kadir make a statement, make a report.
Good evening. Dennis Kadir, land use and development. Give you a brief update on the housing bill that was passed back in November. There's a number of items that we're working towards. We have a July 1 deadline where we have a number of zoning amendments that need to take place. Fortunately, Mottville is in pretty good shape compared to a number of other towns. We have a rather a more permissive type of zoning approach where we already allow summary review or as-of-right housing reviews. In our zoning regulations, many towns require special permits. So we are already in good shape, and we don't need to address that matter. But there's some other little technical items that we have to go in for updating our parking regulations and some other matters. So those are some mandatory deadlines for July 1. We have the housing plan that is due not until 2028. But there's a number of items that are occurring. We are collaborating with the Council of Governments right now. We had a meeting last week with the Council and a number of other towns as well. The Council of Governments expecting some clarification and more guidance on March 1 from the Office of Policy and Management as to what the COGS need to do specific to housing. So this is all still evolving. I guess that's long story short. And there are going to be some planning committee and a policy committee that's going to be established. And through the CEOs of the town, staff is going to be becoming asked to be involved. So there's not a lot to report there. We are actively reviewing and collaborating with the Council of Governments on that matter. And related, we are still waiting to hear on the grant from the Department of Housing. We should be hearing this week or next. And that was an ask of $125,000 to help on the housing plan, as well as some of the zoning amendments. The revive and renew routes 163 and 32, as I had mentioned earlier, approaching the end of that work, and a series of meetings will be occurring over the course of the next couple of months. Please watch for push notifications on that. And then an update on the boat launch. We had a call on Friday with the contractor, we being myself and CLA. They are on hold because of the weather. They're expecting, based upon the forecast, that they would anticipate a March 1 restart out there. If that is the case, then they would anticipate, and barring no other weather delays or other unforeseen conditions, a July opening. And that would be a joint opening of both the pier and the launch together, because they need the room to maneuver to do the pier, even though the launch might be technically done, but they need the space to maneuver around before that can open. But we will be monitoring that as we move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. So I also want to comment that Dennis has agreed to be the main lead contact for the fishing pier and the boat launch. It's going to take a great deal of attention to monitor that, and we're going to have regular meetings on it and update everybody. Very eager to get moving on that, and thank you, Dennis. Next, I'd like to hear a report from the tax collector, David Graves.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. David Graves, Tax Office. I was asked to make a quick presentation about where we are standing in our collection rate so far this year. As of this morning, we have collected 96.58% of our billable real estate, 99.51% of our personal property, and 90.23% of our motor vehicles. As far as the real estate, per our revised delinquent tax policy that was approved by the council back in April of last year, we sent out 76, what I like to call pre-tax sale certified letters to residents. These letters were designed to inform real estate owners that they were three full installments or 1.5 years or more behind in their real estate properties, and that these needed to be brought below three full installments by March 1st. Between October of 2025 and February 3rd of 2026, 22 real estate accounts have brought themselves either below the three full installment criteria or paid their accounts to a current zero balance. So we're heading in the right direction as far as that policy is concerned. On February 3rd, we sent out 45 certified letters notifying accounts who remain to have a balance that exceeds the criteria that we have until the end of this month. We are getting several phone calls, several payments in of people trying to make that deadline of the March 1st. Honestly, we are going to have some properties that honestly just are not going to make it. When you have accounts that are 10, 12 years old, they're just so far gone. And honestly, it's kind of like a disservice to the taxpayer to have let it go on that far. As far as personal property, in the past, the current tax bills would be sent to our outside collection agency after 2 years of sitting in-house. I have changed that completely. We are now, it's due in July. It's with the tax collection agency by May of the following year. This has made substantial strides in regards to our collections on personal property as well as motor vehicle. They're able to get to these accounts much sooner than later, and their success rate is shown in the amount of money that we collect every month from them. And sending it to them earlier also saves the town a great deal of money, because now we are not spending the postage and the resources. They're taking on that liability for us in exchange for a percentage, and it doesn't cost the town anything. as far as motor vehicle, again, same thing that we did with the personal property. We are transferring those over to the collection agency a lot sooner than later. We have created a very strict timeline when it comes to our delinquencies. So our delinquency bills are due in July. They are delinquent after the first business day in August. within 5 business days, we know whether or not we're going to get any more on-time postmarks, which we're required by law to maintain. At that point, we are doing our delinquencies. 30 days later, we're doing our demands, and it's paying off. It's giving us what we need. As of August 1st of this year, we went into our fees, our administrative fees that were approved by the council around the fall. Currently, we've collected $140 in certified letter fees. Again, this is the cost of the certified letters that the town previously used to eat. Now we're getting reimbursed for that. Immediate releases from the DMV. Again, this only started as of February 2nd of this year. We've already made $80. We're averaging about, you know, $40 a day, give or take. Motor vehicle put-ons. We've collected $275 since we put the motor vehicles onto the DMV, and that was back on February 3rd. And so we've collected $275 there. And as far as returned or rejected payments, we've collected $80 for a total of $575 at this point. Earlier today, we sent out delinquent notices to the following categories: personal property, $134, real estate, $567. And motor vehicle, 2096. We'll be sending out demand notices on March 5th, as mandated by Connecticut statutes, in order to continue with additional collection actions. This will be followed by UCC and real estate liens in April. So again, overall, collection rates remain strong across all major tax categories. With 5 months remaining in the fiscal year, I'm confident that we will achieve our goal of 99.9% of the collections rate by the June 30th deadline. Any questions?
Yeah, I asked Dave to come tonight because he gave me that news a couple of days ago, and I know last year when we put out the same information, people were just astounded that we couldn't have that high of a collection. But I just wanted the council to hear that we are very successful, and thank you very much for...
I will say, Councilmember May, last year, I will say that in light of the turnaround in that particular office, y'all did pretty darn good. You know, I mean, we had a tax collector who left in end of June, beginning of July. Then you had a new tax collector come in. I believe it was August. Was here for a very short time. Then you had a temp. And then I came in at the end of December of 25. So with the help of Donna Tito, who is the assistant collector, we did, in my opinion, spectacular in the short amount of time that we had between the end of December and June 30th to pull together what we did. And the town shouldn't be ashamed of that. You know. But we're going to be doing better going forward.
Thank you.
All right.
I agree, and I want to say we're going to meet our goals because of yours and Dawn's effort. And I see it, I hear about it, and I know nobody likes to pay the tax. Nobody likes the taxes. But your effort, people are more eager to talk with, and you're eager to talk with them, and it's, you're making it work. Thank you.
You're
welcome. From the... PD, Lieutenant, or Chief?
Dave Radford, Lieutenant, Marvel Police. Just a quick update on the animal control facility. Contractually, they're pretty much there. They have a minor punch list of things they need to finish up. The some side things, the Lexan for the quarantine cages, that project has been completed. It's been installed. We're waiting on the cage gates to be completed. Probably got a couple more weeks before we'll be looking at those ready to be installed. Besides that, obviously the contractor's got to wait till spring to do any sort of landscaping with the outside. And you know, I don't know if that's something I did or what, but
you have that effect on things.
I guess so. Light up the board. Other than that, the facilities come out great. Everything's looking good. They're cleaning it up. We're hoping, you know, I don't want to say too much or be hopeful, but in the not so distant future, we'll be in there. We'll be able to get the state down to do its inspection, and then we'll start using it for what it's for. That's all I got. Anybody have any questions about it?
When is the state coming down to do their? I know they did an inspection. They gave a punch list, and we're working through that. Or is that? Do they need to come back and?
Yeah, as soon as we're ready with the gates, we'll call them back, and it's we can get them down usually within a couple days.
Okay, so it's coming soon.
Yes, sir.
I want to echo a good job, Lieutenant. I know you're there every day, and you keep a close eye on things, and I want to thank you for all the attention and, that you've been given to that entire thing from groundbreaking. Thank you. Thank you. Also want to thank our Clerk of the Works, Dean Terry, for the attention he's been giving to it, monitoring change notices and keeping up with things. It's a project that was... very difficult from the very beginning, but they're making it work. I want to apologize to all the department heads for the lateness here and those in the audience. It had a small agenda, but had a lot of things to do. So I just want to also report that we've hired Deputy Fire Marshal Travis Forrest. He's doing a great job. He's into it 3 weeks now. I know everyone's heard comments about the... triaxle traffic on Depot Road and Dock Road before the last storm and after the last storm. I want to thank Gateway for the cooperation that they gave myself, the police department, the neighbors, trying to make the best of a bad situation. But you got to keep in mind that New Haven ran out of salt and all the trucks in southeastern Connecticut and all of Connecticut converged on Montville at the same time. But the cooperation from Gateway was great, and we got through it. We interviewed building official candidates over the past month, and we are ready to – we did offer for a candidate to start on April 6th. We'll be mentioning his name at a later time. Interviewed Public Works for a maintainer applicant, and he starts on the 17th, Trent McAlpine. We interviewed for a WPCA accountant who started today, Cynthia Thompson. Public Safety Commission interviewed firefighter applicants. We're down one firefighter, and they forwarded three names for our further interviews. We'll be taking up those interviews this week. Hopefully, we'll be soon up to full staffing on the fire department. The new monitor, the screen everybody sees here, we thanks to Bill O'Neill from the IT department, and this monitor was made possible through a PEPITA grant. It's supposed to be part of our streaming capital improvements that we'll be talking about later on. The condition of the roads. Everyone can see that when you travel from other towns into Montville, we're doing pretty darn good. And hats off to our Public Works Department, all the hours that everybody put in there, clearing these, making the roads safe, the police department for all their attention to the operation, the fire department, the dispatchers. You know, we're very fortunate we have a good group of people that are making this town safe. That's it.
Any questions for the mayor? Let's move on. Reports from standing committees, town administration rules and procedures.
No meeting this month, Mr. Chairman. There is one coming up.
The finance, we had our meeting last week, and we're on track. The finance director went over the report. We have overtime and the police. Fire and dispatch, along with Public Works, is over their allotted numbers for the year. So we're just the nature of the business, the beast right now. We're also looking at a time card system that we're going to be trying to get going sooner than not.
Yep.
And what else are Councilor Baker, do you recall anything else?
No, the electronic POs.
Yes, electronic POs are in progress, and I think they're doing their last training. So we're at 58% of the budget spent, which is right on target for 7 months in. So right now everything's looking good, and looking forward to starting the budget season here. We'll probably hit it pretty heavy starting in March. Public Works, Solid Waste.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dennis covered the boat launch. Fair Oaks restroom renovations pre-bid meeting and walkthrough was held on January 14th, 25 at 10 a.m., and we had about 8 to 10 prospective bidders that attended. Myself, John Carlson, and Kyle Hobart attended that meeting. Bid opening for Fair Oaks, as John reported. Restroom renovations will be on February 11th, 2026, 10 a.m. at the finance office. I attended a Zoom meeting with Finance Director Julie Chapman, Mayor Bunnell, John Carlson, and Flo Turner on the 14th of this month, and it was for the Sustainable Materials Management Round 2 Grant Program. The meeting was hosted by DEEP, the municipalities that were awarded the grant, and discussed administrative details. Myself, Public Works Director John Carlson, and Town Engineer Kyle Hobart met with the Finance Director on the 29th. We reviewed the balance of available funding for spring road work in preparation to develop a list of projects along with bid specifications. Waste Zero, who is the prospective program manager for the Sustainable Materials Management Grant, they provided us a presentation, and that is for the transfer station, and that grant I reported about last month. And the this is all part of potential solutions the committee is evaluating for revising transfer station fees and policies, and a full presentation will be made at the town council soon. So you guys were going to actually get to see the same presentation we had, and working with the chairman and the mayor to make a decision on whether we might want to do that as a special meeting rather than having it as part of the agenda. There's a lot to it. We want people to have an opportunity to really understand what we're trying to do here. So it may be better off that we can sit out there and watch what's going on here and be free to ask questions. We'll be working on that. Proposals for the town hall fire escape replacement are in the process of being evaluated, and there were three received. Also, we discussed the potential budget overages and personnel overtime in materials for winter and snow and ice control. John reported on that earlier. That's all I have. Any questions?
All right. Thank you, Councilor Baker.
You're welcome.
Reports from special committees and liaison councilors. Councilor Baker, Public Safety.
Public Safety did not have a meeting on the 26th of January due to the snowstorm, as most of the other meetings were canceled that night. But what I'll do is I'll give you some statistics that I was presented as part of being the liaison for the police and fire. The fire department for the month of December had 269 calls for service, and that's an average of about 8.6 calls per day. The police department had 997 calls for service. That's an average of 32.1 per day. So both of these agencies are very busy protecting the town and the citizens. Every month I'll give you this report because I think it is important that you know how busy they are and why the budgets are the way they are and what we need to properly protect this town for public safety. So next meeting you'll be getting the report for the January 26th statistics. That's all I've got.
Public Safety, did they take receipt, or they didn't have their meeting, did they?
No, they didn't.
I'm looking for the ATV ordinance.
To the best of my knowledge, and the mayor can correct me, it's going to go to TARP this the Public Safety this month. Then I believe TARP meets after Public Safety. Mm-hmm. And once TARP approves it, then it should come back to us for a public hearing.
I thought it was going the other way.
Got
to go to Public
ATV
Safety.
It's going to go to Public Safety first, then TARP.
I already mentioned that, yeah.
Yep. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I just want to make sure that that
Thank
happens.
Thank you.
Council Karen, Commission on Aging, Nonprofit Organization and Social Services.
All the departments actually have been very busy. We'll start off with the food bank. We've had a lot of good donations, so we're fully stocked right now, which will, by the next meeting, I'll probably be talking in reverse about that, because hunger just doesn't come in holidays. You know, it's all year long. Heating assistance, we've been really pushing on that. A lot of seniors, a lot of people less fortunate, have been filling out stuff and getting their heating assistance, and especially being the heating is, the price of heating oil is just through the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've seen this cold weather coming that they jacked it up, but that a lot of people are suffering on that, are having problems paying for that, especially paying for their rent. We do have a lot of, you know, you talk to the officers, some, you know, the homeless. So let's give thanks to what we all have, but some people don't. To Senior Center, we've had some our winter barbecue. That was a great success. The mayor spoke at it. The chief was at it. And thank you very much. Chief has been very supportive of being at the senior luncheon. The Senior Center is completely done with new carpets. The painting is done. We got a nice check from Charter Oak for our food bank of $205,000. The tribe has donated the funds for the new furniture for the breezeway, and the library will be / card center now, where the seniors can play cards and also watch whatever news program or every program they want to watch. The tribe has donated that. We're also extending outreach hours for our social services for seniors in need, some of the elderly housings. We're extending those hours. Because we see an abundance of need there. Our director right now is working on grants. Grant writing season is in for, we're looking at for more grants. One would be the Homemaker Grant, which the state did cut. It cut it from $35,000 down to $5,000. That's a grant that goes into senior housing and seniors that are disabled or seniors who just need someone to come in and do some dusting and help with clothes and special needs that people take for granted that a lot of seniors do need and citizens that are disabled. So that's about it from me. Any questions?
Thank you. Councilor Jaskiewicz, Planning and Zoning Commission.
At last month's Planning and Zoning Commission, a hearing was held on an application for a new regulation pertaining to adaptive reuse. There was one comment from the public in favor of the regulation, and the commission voted unanimously to approve the new regulation. Also, an application for a zone change from R20 to government was received by the commission for the parcel on Cook Drive, which houses the water tower. And the public hearing was scheduled for February 24th, which is coming up. Several other matters were discussed by the planning director, Dennis Goddard, specifically related to upcoming amendments to the zoning regulations and the plan of conservation and development. An update was provided regarding the housing grant, which has been applied for, as well as a brief discussion regarding TIF districts, which Dennis talked about tonight. The commission agreed to hold workshops regarding changes to the zoning regulations and the plan of conservation and development. The next workshop is scheduled for February 11th. There were 18 new zoning permits were issued, and 21 zoning permits were closed after the issuance of a certificate of zoning. The next planning and zoning meeting is February 24th at 6 o'clock. Thank you. Thank
you. Councilor Novak, Economic Development Commission and Volunteer Firefighters Relief Fund.
Yes, thank you. The Economic Development meeting was held on January 21st, and we had Paul Whitescarver, the Director of Sector, was introduced, and he gave a presentation about what is economic development and what they have to offer our town. We discussed a business outreach to have a breakfast to invite businesses in to see what options are available from SECTRA so they can have access to some capital to maybe help their business grow and thrive. I think the EDC, I think Dennis is doing a great job, and he touched on all the other aspects of that meeting, but that was a great presentation. learned a lot from them. And as far as the firefighters' relief, we had a Zoom meeting on January 27th, and we have for the fourth quarter our stipend and abatements totals. So from the Oakdale Firehouse, Chief Messier reported 7 tax abatements and 7 stipends. The Montville Fire Department, Chief Turner reported 3 tax abatements and 5 stipends. Chesterfield Firehouse, Chief Nelson, 3 tax abatements, 1 stipend. And at Mohegan, Chief Suarez, there was no tax abatements and 1 stipend. We're going to have 4 more meetings in 26, and it was a short meeting, and that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilor Sebelia, Conservation Commission, Water Pollution Control Authority, and Youth Service Bureau and Advisory Board.
All right. Conservation Commission, they're currently marking some of the larger trees that might need to be taken down. They're also discussing putting up different types of trail markers because the paint that's on the trails just wears away. So they're trying to look for more of a long-term solution for that. They're also discussing... Currently, the Fair Oaks Community Center and the Conservation Center are considered the same tract of land, and really it should be 2 separate things so the Conservation Commission can get different type of funding that related to conservation efforts. So we're going to look into that. I know Tim's kind of going to take the lead on that, I think it said in the minutes.
I kind of put it back on the mayor, but either way, I think I need to talk to Dennis Goodyear a little bit about that, about the...
Just fill up his schedule.
Going to go to a surveyor at some point. So, anyway.
All right. And then for youth services, WPCA didn't meet this month. So youth services, I know I think I mentioned it last week, but they were a guest on the morning segment of the Channel 3 Great Day program, which aired live. Their objective is to promote the important work of Connecticut's youth service bureaus and promote the importance of mental health and how they're continuing to spread the You Good Bro campaign. So that's been a huge success. They're trying to keep that rolling. They also kicked off their Play Well Technologies 8-week program. They have 10 fourth and fifth grade students that are participating in this opportunity in STEM education through Lego building. They're able to sponsor 10 students in their after school program. So that was from a $1,500 grant they received from the Montville Education Foundation. They were also recently chosen by the New London Elks Club to receive an $800 gratitude grant to continue their positive work in the youth community. It was an unexpected surprise. In the spirit of gratitude, they're going to use the funding to promote actions tied to random acts of kindness. So, last thing, they're also... through professional networking connections, they were able to secure a licensed clinical social worker who will primarily work with the adolescents between 14 and 18 years old. So it'll be mostly Montville High students and the Palmer alternative students. It's really for kids struggling with behavioral health, substance misuse. Currently, our UCFS school-based health center has a huge waiting list. So adding this will help with that. It's of no cost to the town or the district. It's needed a ton. So that'll be a good opportunity for some of our adolescents. And that's it.
All right, Councilor Southard, Board of Education, Farmers Market Committee, Library Committee, Parks and Recreation.
Okay, the Board of Education meeting was a month ago. It was on January 13th. We are meeting tomorrow, so as I read some of this, just please keep that in mind because some of the information is probably outdated. So we had a great presentation by the Director of Technology updating everybody on the 5-year plan, projections for the IT budget, and this is a plan that is always being changed, updated with all of the changes with technology and all that comes with it. The superintendent discussed the process of how she does the budget for the new and existing board members, and the big cost this year is going to be special education, as you can all imagine, and the proposed budget will be presented in the beginning of March. Montville High School has been named to the Advanced Placement Honor Roll for the 2024-25 school year. This recognizes schools whose AP programs are delivering results for their students and also broadening and increasing participation in AP courses. And the Montville Education Foundation awarded a total of $25,500 in full and mini grants to different teachers and organizations. The 2025-26 year-to-date financial report was presented. At the time, this was 50% through the school year, through the budget year. Currently, 41% is spent, 40% is encumbered, 19% is uncommitted, and the non-lapsing fund balance is $512,863. HVAC update, Willie Quinones, who is the director of maintenance there, he presented an update. Murphy and Oakdale, they are well into the project. A lot of work will be being done at those schools over their spring break. Mohegan Elementary, Montville High School, bids have been awarded to Nutmeg Companies. They did have a kickoff meeting on Wednesday, January 21st, and Tile Middle School bids went out and were due back on January 27th. Palmer School architects and engineers are finalizing, and then that will be going out to bid. So that is Board of Ed. There's a lot of information there. Farmers Market, we had our first meeting last month, and the season will run from July 7th to August 25th based upon feedback that we've gotten from our vendors. So we have just started accepting applications for that. And on April 25th, we're going to have a spring pop-up at Tile from 10 to 2. It's called Spring is in the Air, and it's going to be kind of set up like we do the holiday market. And this was another request from vendors that have also attended the holiday market. Parks and Recreation, there wasn't a lot with that meeting this month. There was a discussion of the ongoing projects. They are finalizing the pavilion rental rules. I'm waiting to get those from the Director of Recreation to bring those to TARP. And the Carnival Committee met, and they're starting to get that going for the 2026 Carnival, looking for food trucks, other additional vendors, and fireworks are set up already for the Saturday night of the Carnival, and that's going to be June 19th to 21st. And library had no meeting.
All right, thank you. Appointment resignations, there are none. Unfinished business, there's none. New business, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $4,663.68 as requested by the tax collector.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Baker.
Favor.
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 Favor. Favor. 7-0 in favor. 16B, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to accept a storm sewer easement and right to drain to the Town of Montville as shown on plan entitled Site Improvement Plan Proposed, Trailer Storage Facility, 375 Maple Avenue, Route 163, Town of Montville, Connecticut. Prepared for Rand Whitney, LLC, 370 Route 163, P.O. Box, 336, Montville, Connecticut, 06353. Prepared by CLA Engineers, Inc., dated June 2nd, 2025, revised July 21st. 2025.
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
This was briefly discussed earlier when Rand Whitney representative was here, Mario Infante. It's going to allow us to correct some drainage problems that we've been having for quite a few years at the end of Sharps Hill on the Maple Avenue into the pond.
Mm-hmm. Any more discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 7-0 in favor. Item 16C, the town of Montville resolves to authorize Mayor Leonard G. Bunnell Sr. to execute the storm sewer easement and right to drain from Rand Whitney Realty LLC to the town of Montville as required per Planning and Zoning Commission site plan application number 25-SITE-5. Approved on July 22nd, 2025, in accordance with a plan entitled Site Improvement Plan Proposed Trailer Storage Facility, 375 Maple Avenue, Route 163, Town of Montville, Connecticut, prepared for Rand Whitney Realty, LLC, 37 Route 163, P.O. Box 336, Montville, Connecticut, 06353, prepared by CLA Engineers, Inc., dated June 2nd, 2025, revised July 21st, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. That is 7-0 in favor. Item 16D, the town of Montville hereby resolves to retain the law firm of Sussman and Shapiro as legal counsel for the town of Montville with a term of January 1st, 2026 to December 31st, 2026, and further to authorize the mayor to execute the fee agreement outlined in a proposal submitted by the law firm dated February 4th, 2026.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? The mayor handed out the fee schedule to everyone, and it's the same as previous years, so there's no increase in the fee schedule. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. Keep it 7-0 in favor. Item 17, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit.
Matt Suarez, 18 Cranberry Drive. I just wanted to clarify a report that was given about the stipends from the relief committee. It was for Mohegan. It was reported at the meeting and as 0 tax abatements and 4 stipends.
4 stipends, thank you.
And I just wanted to also hope that the town council is aware of the radio failure that we had here in town and that money is being found as was, if it's not already allocated and set aside for the new system, it's going to need to be hopefully sooner rather than later so we can move forward and get off the antiquated system. That's all I got.
Thank you.
One more time. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. And remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the councilors and the mayor. I'll start off with Councilor Southard tonight.
Thanks for hanging in there, everybody. It's a long one. I just want to tell Director Carlson that on Saturday I went out shopping and the Montville roads were better than the state roads and the Norwich roads. So kudos to you and your guys. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Nothing special. Thank you for putting up the long meeting. Have a good night.
Sounds Karen.
I just want to also extend the thank you to Public Works and our first responders because the first responders have to go in that same weather. I saw the calls, but so thank you very much for all our first responders on that too. And I had the pleasure, or none the pleasure, of sitting in a Zoom meeting with our delegation. Our delegation, which we would bring forward, is our Southeastern Connecticut delegation, that we would bring forward stuff that we think that our town needs, stuff from the council, from the public. So I've had the pleasure of just listening to their mumbo-jumbo mouthpiece is just sitting there telling us certain things that they can't do and why we want it done. I don't think we're well represented. I'll say that. I'm still not going to bend a knee. I'll be outspoken. I hope some of my colleagues will do the same. They're putting Hartford to do the right thing for us. They're not putting Hartford for the party. They're putting Hartford to work for the people. So are we. When we get up here, the D's and R's and U's or whatever disappear. I wasn't impressed. Martha Marks was the only one that shined on that. I'll give the new guy, Larry, a pass because that's just his first time. But the rest, so be it. I'll say it. I wasn't impressed. I know sometimes I'm told by some of my colleagues, hey, you have to watch what you say because they can penalize us. I am not. I've been here 20 years. I'm not going to watch what I say now. I'm going to say what I believe, what the taxpayers need in this town. And Hartford's not listening to us. I'm not going to fake it. Carol, you were there. So was the mayor and some others. So I'm just reporting back to you. We need some representation. We really do. They need to start listening to us. A lot of money flows through this town. Okay? These bills, these unfunded mandates that they slide down to us and then say, hey, deal with it. It's not the right way to do it. It's not to throw it onto our taxpayers. It's really not. I'll quit my whining on that, but I just wanted you all to know how bad it was. It's not a good area out there. There's one candidate out there, one senator, that I believe is trying to penalize us. We need to be more outspoken, and my party does too. Thank you, and thank you for your time.
And I'll just echo a couple of things that Councilor Karen, because I was at the same meeting. And I just want to let the chief know over there that the radios are one of our top priorities to get that funded. We do have $300,000+ sitting in one of our accounts for radios, and we're trying to make up the rest to achieve that goal. So just let you know, we are working on that. And that is one of our number one priorities with the state legislature to give us some money in that if we can. And if we can't, we're going to have to work on that. Now, what Councilor Karen was saying is correct. Last year we had right at somewhere around $800,000 to $900,000 in unfunded mandates. Some of it was a motor vehicle tax, so where they revised it, that was a complete burden on our taxpayer. And the other one was the veterans 100% taxes reduced on property tax. That was a tune of about $400,000 that affected us greatly. And so, although that is a great benefit for veterans, I'm a disabled veteran myself, and I do not get any of those benefits. But I think that the state has got to really look at when they impose these fees on us, or reduction of fees, it's a good thing. They're not being responsible to look out for the individual property owner in all these small towns. This year we're going to be faced with, we've got some things happening, and we're going to be working on that in finance, but these unfunded mandates are killing us. And anytime we have any growth in the grand list, it's eaten up by some other thing. So we will be looking at that, and we need to be talking to our representatives, all of us, not just the legislative body here, but every citizen in Montville needs to be talking to our state legislators about these issues. So, and it's a real eye-opener that we are basically getting the same amount of money the state's given us this year as we got last year, which we should be in a host community for a lot of things. We're not getting our fair share when it comes to the Mohegan Pequot Fund. And that was self-evident that our legislators are not going to be trying to push that and legislate for us. So, and with that, I will turn it over to Councilor Sevilla for his comments.
No, I'm all set, guys. Thanks for coming. I know it's been a long one. Just kind of to piggyback off that, the unfunded state mandates, they just keep happening. Even the early voting, that has to get paid for somehow to man all the early voting days, things like that. So it is important that people, you know, remind our state legislators that the fault comes back on the town when they do things like that. I think they kind of forget it. So that's all on that. Go ahead, Brian.
Mr. Baker?
I'm not going to expound any more on what's been said before me. I think it's been said and well said tonight. All of the kudos that were given to everybody during the storm, what's going on at the state level and the unfunded mandates. It's all relative, and it's things we've got to take care of. Thanks for hanging in with us, 9:30, so we appreciate it. Be safe out there, and stay warm.
Yes. All right, thank you all for coming tonight, and I don't have anything else to say. Thank you.
Well, before the adjourn, I think Councilor Karen, you're
ready. Yeah, I forgot, and I was waiting for it to come through on my phone. Officer, do I say Lindsay is an officer, or does she have a? Is she just an officer? Officer Lindsay Michaels is a fundraiser, where she rides 400 miles. Is it for our fallen officers? I'd hope the council and maybe the town will support that. And why I'm talking about support, the left liberals. Strike again on some of our fine officers. I just want to send my 100% support to you, Chief. You and your family. You have my support, and I know you have everyone's support up here. I just want to let you know, okay? Thank you.
All right, with that, motion.
No,
Mayor.
I'd like to say something.
Ooh. Not over. It's a jacket.
So I want to echo Councilman Karen's comments regarding the chief's family, and our support is absolutely there. Whatever we can do to help with that that terrible decision by the state. I also want to comment that the this past couple of storms we've had, you know, while we're home safely in our beds, the police department, public works, the fire department, the paid staff are all out there. Dispatchers, you know, they're the ones that are making us safe, and I appreciate all the effort that everybody gives to that. We lost our radio system twice on two different weekends, the end of last month and this month. Communications Plus did an awful good job getting us back online and making the best of a bad situation. Trying to find us the equipment to replace the stuff that's 30 years old that we do need to replace. It's the mid-high band that we're using now. We're going to the state system. We've been working on it for years now. The money is some of the money's there, and we're working with the state trying to get the rest of the money. We thought we had funding for it. It fell through. But to the credit of the four fire companies, they sharpened their pencils. They're able to get that price down to something that's, you know, a little more affordable than the $1.3 million we were looking at. And Chief Blanchett, Lieutenant Radford, Fire Marshal Meagle acted quickly and responsibly and got us some temporary radios from the state while Communications Plus worked on trying to get us back online. So everybody worked together and did a great job, and I can't thank you guys enough for what you did band-aiding and getting us by that difficult time. Happy Valentine's Day, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved. So moved.
I'm going to get knocked out.
Oh, you do. I can see
that.
I'm not giving her money to jump on
what day right now.